When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome into the Nick Bob Podcast and a very special episode. And you know, there's a saying, better late than never. Well, that applies to today. I know college basketball has tipped off for a few days now, but I really wanted to give you my Big East Conference preview. Before we dive into it, make sure you subscribe to the pod, man. Pod is available anywhere you can download podcasts, but make sure you subscribe. Yes, it helps me, but it also helps you. Make sure you never miss an episode. We got tons of good stuff. Obviously, it's basketball season, football season colliding. Still got some interesting things with hoops that we got to dive into, and with Husker football as well. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. All right, my Big East preview. I mean, there's not a conference I've followed closer and been more involved with than the Big East over the last five, six, 7 years or so. This is my sixth year covering the league for Fox Sports 1 as an analyst. So I have been intimately involved with all 10 teams, all the coaches, all the players, kind of their arc of their last 3 or 4 years, where they're at, all those sorts of things. So I feel like I have a great feel for this conference and each team. So what I kind of want to do is dive in to each team. I'll give you my predictions on how I kind of forecast maybe the final standings looking at the beginning of March. And then also got some superlatives and some preseason awards I want to hand out as well. So this is going to be fun. Let's start with Butler. So you look at last year. You know, well, Butler was a couple of nuggets here. Butler was one of 8 schools to win an NCAA tournament game from 2015 to 2018. And that streak was broke last year, which is obviously, Butler has a standard. It was the second losing season since 2005. So you could tell there was some frustrated, Coach Jordan was frustrated. A lot of people around the program were frustrated with how things went. But I think that's one of the best programs in the country, and I expect them to bounce back. They're really good at home. They've won 51 consecutive non-conference home games, second behind Duke. So they're pretty good at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And when you looked at last year, Laval Jordan, reading some different quotes from him, he was disappointed in the defense and their ability to sustain it and get stops last year. Their inability to string together stops didn't allow them to play in transition. So they were constantly going against a half-court set defense, which makes life hard. And I just think they found out last year, they had a hard time scoring some nights without Keelan Martin. And they didn't just have a guy that they could throw it to and just go, and he could just go get his. Keelan Martin was one of those guys. They just get him at the elbow, get him on the wing, and he could just go get a jumper, get fouled, go get a bucket. Kamar Baldwin went through an adjustment period last year to being the number one guy and the focal point of a defensive scouting report. And that's an adjustment, man. I mean, he was always playing alongside Keelan Martin, and so he was getting all the attention. And I love Kamar Baldwin. I do think he's better suited as a Robin than a Batman. And that isn't meant to be a slight, because I think he's an excellent player. I mean, he's scored over 1,400 points in his career, preseason all-conference guy. But, he's not necessarily an elite scorer with that kind of a mindset. He doesn't have the mindset of Miles Powell and Marcus Howard. He's kind of a tough winner, do the little things guy who's not afraid of the big moment. But he's going to have to expand into becoming Batman this year, because Butler needs him to be that guy. And when you looked at last year as well, Butler's margin for error was just small, because they didn't force a lot of turnovers, they didn't get a lot of second chance points, and they didn't get to the free throw line a lot. That's something I've talked to Laval Jordan with a lot. 15% of their total points came from the free throw line last year. That ranked 322nd in the country. So easy baskets were hard to get, and that puts a ton of pressure on your execution in the half court to be off the charts, and it puts a ton of pressure on you to make threes. So probably going to want to get to the line a little bit more, need Kamar Baldwin to expand to make offense a little bit easier for him. They got two guys that I absolutely love as kind of great role glue guys. The first one's Aaron Thompson. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I think he's the best on-ball defender in the Big East. Super smart, great passer, just the type of guy you want on your team. And again, any elite on-ball defender. His only issue is he's not a good three-point shooter or a very good scorer in general. So it kind of caps his overall game, but I just love this kid. Sean McDermott is an elite shooter, super smart. And what'll be interesting for him when you contrast last year to this year, he had to play the four at times last year, which was tough on him, you know, because he's more of a wing. And when you're having to wrestle big four and fives down in the paint, that takes away your legs to make shots on the other end. This year, because of some newcomers, he's going to be able to play the wing, which I think will suit him better on a variety of levels. And he's just an excellent shooter. Guy that knows who he is, never tries to do too much. I really like McDermott. Jordan Tucker he was a top 40 recruit, went to Duke, and then transferred to Butler. And he became eligible at semester last year. And he made shots, but he wasn't quite as impactful as I think most hoped he would be, or what you would anticipate, you know, a Duke transfer to be. You know, because he's got to learn how to do more than just shoot and score. He's got to impact the game in other ways. 67% of his field goal attempts are threes, so he's got to diversify his offensive game a bit and just take another step as a player, because you know he's got the physical tools. I mean, you don't get a scholarship and go to Duke being a bum. I mean, he's got the tools. Other returners, you know, I was told that by LaValle Jordan that Christian David had an unbelievable offseason. Totally bought into his role, really committed to the weight room. He could have an impact. You know, you got some different guys. Henry Baddeley's played a lot of basketball as well. And then you look at some of the newcomers. They got an impact transfer in Bryce Enzi. 10 points, 8 rebounds a game at Milwaukee. He was with LaValle Jordan at Milwaukee, so there's already a relationship. Very unique player. Big bodied, about 6'7", 6'8", strong. He can handle it. He can make plays. You know, he's a guy that can get a rebound and take off with it and kind of be a point forward. He'll really provide a big impact for Butler because they needed someone at that power forward spot that could defend and rebound and score in the post. Also got Derek Smits, a 7'1" grad transfer from Valpo. He'd been a little bit slowed with some knee issues. He's the son of Rick Smits. He averaged 12.6 rebounds. Again, tall, long guy. You need a paint presence. He can be that. Bryce Golden, I should go back. He is another bigger-bodied 6'7" forward that played a little bit last year. You know, he is a pretty good post passer. He'll help. Caleb Battle, 6'5", four-star recruit, freshman, 23 points per game. The younger brother, Tyus Battle from Syracuse. He has got a scorer's mentality, pretty talented kid. John Michael Malloy, another 6'10", incoming freshman, 14 points a game. His strength's going to be an issue, but ultimately I think he's gonna absolutely make an impact as his career progresses. So when you look at Butler, you know, they're a little more suited because of the influx of Enzi to have some more diversity with their offense. I think as long as Baldwin takes another step as a scorer and they can get some of those complimentary guys, Jordan Tucker, to make shots, this is a team that you know isn't going to beat themselves and be really rock solid in their execution. I think LaValle Jordan does a really nice job, and that's a proud program, man. They are going to play hard, and I think they're hungry for a bounce-back year. Creighton had an interesting year last year. Went to the quarter finals in the NIT. Could have easily made the NCAA tournament, but were really bad in close games. I mean, there were a few games where you almost got to try to lose with all the things that they messed up in the final 2-3 minutes of games. They're picked to finish 7th this year. I'd be surprised if they aren't better than that. They finished tied for 3rd last year, and they bring everyone back except Martin Crumple, which is a big blow, but not devastating, because ultimately, when you think of Creighton and their identity, it's pace, offensive transition, guard-oriented, and threes. They have all that still. But the thing that's concerning is the injury bug has already sunk its teeth into the Blue Jays. Jacob Epperson, 6'11", guy that had a ton of potential, got banged up last year, had to take a medical red shirt, and then he broke his leg, a compound fracture in practice in the middle of October. He is out for the foreseeable future. Right now, Davion Mintz is nursing a bum ankle. He's out for the first handful of weeks. Damian Jefferson is still nursing that ankle injury from a year ago. So they're a little banged up. But what they do have is a loaded backcourt. Tyshawn Alexander, Mitch Ballack, Marcus Zagorowski. Then you add Davion Mintz once he's back. I mean, that's a pretty good core of guards. And, you know, Mintz's guys played a lot of basketball. He started Creighton's 59 previous games heading into this season. I just think when you look at the Jays' guards, that's as deep and experienced and talented of a guard core in the entire conference. The front line is thin, though. That's where the concern lies. Christian Bishop, most improved Jay. He's put on 20 pounds of muscle. He's going to be really important. Kelvin Jones is an interesting grad transfer out of Idaho State. It's his fourth stop in 4 years. Started at UTEP, then went to a junior college, then was at Idaho State, now at Creighton. 6'11", can run. Not as quick-twitched vertically, so the flip-up lobs, pick and roll to the rim won't happen as much with him, but he's a solid, strong player. Those two guys have to stay out of foul trouble. Sharif Mitchell is a freshman who's going to be an instant impact guy because he can really guard. He is awesome on the ball defensively. His offensive game is still a little bit of a work in progress, but he can really heat up the basketball, and the coaches just raved about this kid's toughness, how well he's kind of adapted to things at the college level. He's a guy to keep an eye on. The name to remember, though, is Denzel Mahoney, Southeast Missouri State transfer. 19 points per game there, shot 40% from three, about a 6'6", kind of like wing forward. And he was 19th in the country in free throws made 2 years ago. So he can get to the line, he can score in a variety of ways. He's eligible after the first semester. There could be nights he's Creighton's best player. Absolutely huge X factor to keep an eye on as Creighton's season progresses. But, you know, when you look at the Jays, what will decide their season? I think it's number one, health. And then two is toughness. That's something that's kind of eluded Creighton's program. They're a team that, you know, they kind of want it pretty. They want to get up and down the floor. They want the game to be in the 90s and or high 80s. And ultimately, in February and March, the game has a way of slowing down and becoming a grinder, and they got to figure out how to win those kinds of games. Can they dig in, win those rock fights? That'll kind of decide some things for the Jays. Next team, let's look at DePaul. They're a team that over the last few years, leading up to last year, they just didn't have enough talent. You know, you look at their team, they didn't have the horses. But that is changing. They got some dudes on that team, but they lost a few pretty impactful dudes from last year as well. Max Strus, Eli Kane, Femi Olujabi. That's 45 points per game leaving between those three. And the big one is Strus. Every defensive game plan when DePaul when you're playing DePaul started with how are you going to deal with Max Strus. So that's a big loss there. But they bring back a guy whose ceiling is as high as anyone's in the conference in Paul Reed. He was the Big East most improved player last year, 6'9", versatile. He led the Big East in rebounding at 8.5 rebounds per game, finished third in blocks. He was efficient shooting from the floor, 56%. He is big time. Also bring back a couple other guys. Devin Gage, big-bodied, rock-solid, experienced point guard. Jalen Coleman-Lands is a transfer from Illinois. Broke his hand in December of last year, which kind of derailed what could have been a solid year for him. He's experienced, and he can shoot, which they will need with the departure of Strus. Jalen Butts is back, a forward that's played a lot of basketball, 6 points, 6 rebounds a game. But the big news that kind of changes the outlook for DePaul's season is the waiver that was granted for the Kansas transfer, Charlie Moore, to be eligible right away. Charlie Moore started his career at Cal, averaged 12 points per game there, then went to Kansas and kind of struggled a bit, but he can really score. I mean, he's a crafty, really good player with the ball in his hands. The one thing I will say is I did a couple of Kansas games last year. I was struck at how small he is. He's a small guard, not very long arms, not very tall, but man, he's skilled and he's got a knack for scoring. So he's going to really help. So, you know, I mean, listen, you could kind of build a case that DePaul could be a sneaky, interesting team this year. But they're still in that process of building the foundation of learning how to consistently win. And with the departure of Strus, that makes things tough. But between Paul Reed and Charlie Moore, it's a pretty damn good 1-2 inside-out combination. Next team I want to talk about is Seton Hall, because they're the preseason favorite to win the to win the Big East. Tons of hype around this team, and deservedly so. They pretty much return everyone. They return 8 of their top 9 scorers, but the big one that's coming back is Miles Powell. I mean, he's an All-American candidate. He is just so tough to guard because he can score in a variety of ways. Threes, mid-range, paint, free throw line, transition, ISOs, pin down screens. He can make tough shots. He's not afraid of the big shot. The guy's just a flat-out warrior. And that team, they're tough, they're hard-nosed, they're experienced, and they know exactly who they are. Plus, they are unique to go against because they will throw at you a matchup zone at times. This doesn't get talked about enough with them. I don't get that. They switch up their defenses. They'll play a matchup zone that gets people a little disjointed. One of my other favorites in the league is Quincy McKnight. I think he's the toughest player in the league. Tough as nails, great defensively. The perfect guard complement to play alongside Miles Powell. And the two other players that are crucial for Seton Hall this year. The first one is Miles Kale. Took a big step last year, 6'6", versatile, second leading scorer. And then the other one is Sandru Mamukelashvili, really skilled big. These are probably the two most capable offensive shot makers outside of Miles Powell, and people are going to be selling out to stop Powell, sending a double team, really sinking help into the gaps, and if Mamukelashvili and Kale can make teams pay, that changes things immensely. But my concern is, this is not a very good three-point shooting team. Seton Hall ranked 281st in the country in three-point shooting, dead last in the Big East last year, and the inability to make threes puts pressure on you to be perfect. And how well Seton Hall shoots the three, and in particular Kale and Mamukelashvili score it, will dictate a lot. Because I'm all in on Miles Powell. He's a great player. I think the ingredients are there for a pretty exciting year for Seton Hall. Next team I want to talk about is Marquette. Boy, been a wild handful of months for Marquette. Stop and think about this. So late February, I think February 23rd to be exact, Marquette was 23-4 and ranked 10th in the country. And it was like, oh boy, look out. And then the wheels fell off. Marquette lost 6 of their last 7 games, including getting ran off the floor in the NCAA tournament by Ja Morant and Murray State. Then in the offseason, the Hauser brothers, Joey and Sam, both announced they are transferring right after Marcus Howard announced he was returning for his senior year. And very bizarre. The easy dots to connect, or maybe, you know, you sit there and go, okay, did the Hausers not like playing with Marcus Howard and all the shine and shots he was getting? And I don't know if that's the case, but if that is, I just don't get it. And I think that's weak. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know. I mean, does Howard shoot a lot? Yeah, but he's also the best shooter in the country. Yeah, he shot 40% from three. I guess I just don't necessarily view him as like a huge ball hog. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Hausers as players, especially Sam. Sam was one of my favorite players in the league. But I just don't quite get it. I just think it's a bad look for those guys when they were going to be starters on a team that was going to be in the preseason top 10 this year. And they chose sitting out a year and transfer over being starters on a top 10 team. That's bizarre to me. And who knows what the real situation or reasoning was, but either way, it's head-scratching, and it changes Marquette's outlook this year. But with this year, as I said, Marcus Howard's back, which is huge. Reigning Big East Player of the Year. He's a National Player of the Year candidate. He's the best scorer in the country, period. He had multiple 50-point games in his career. He's just insane to watch. He's like the Steph Curry of college basketball. Can he improve? Sure. Is he perfect? No. He's got to tighten up his whole game, become a better passer, become a better defender, but he's the type of dude that can carry you a long ways. But, you know, with the Hausers out, that alters things quite a bit tangibly on the floor. Because think about it, all the ball screens, they're the lion's share of the ball screens, that were set for Marcus Howard were oftentimes set by one of the Hausers. And those guys were knockdown three-point shooters, and Sam Hauser could post up guards if you switched. That alters the ball screen game a bit because those guys are gone. And then even when Theo John, for instance, came and set a ball screen, you had two knockdown shooters spacing the floor. Can clog the lane, can sell out on Howard. It's a little bit different. You read different things coming out of Milwaukee. Marquette has talked about playing big, potentially two like fives at the same time, and Theo John and Jace Johnson, the Utah transfer, who's a 7-footer. which, you know, could be tough because with how clogged the lane is, and that's two non-shooters on the floor that you can really kind of sell out to take Howard away. We'll see. But the big thing is this. All last year, whenever I watched Marquette or did one of their games, Marquette felt like they were just a guard short. They just didn't have another backcourt player that could handle the rock and score. That is different this year with Kobe McEwen, Utah State transfer. This guy's really talented. Averaged 15 points per game. And I did Marquette and Seton Hall last year, and I was watching Marquette practice. And Kobe McEwen was Miles Powell on the scout team, and this dude was cooking. I was like, who is that guy? That guy is awesome. So keep an eye on Kobe McEwen. He's really going to help take pressure off Marcus Howard. But, you know, it'll be interesting to watch Marquette, you know, the front line and the finding the right combinations and lineups. But here's the thing. When you got a guy like Marcus Howard, you're capable of beating anyone, should be a very fun team to watch. Georgetown. First of all I can say is Patrick Ewing has impressed me. You know, you see some high-profile coaches come to college, former players or whatever, and they don't appear to be all in or totally invested. Let me tell you, Patrick Ewing is all in and invested. I remember watching, it was like a noon tip, and I was going to have a pregame meeting with Patrick Ewing, and I walked back into the locker room, and Patrick Ewing had a table and chair set up with two computers. He was had a whole bunch of notes in front of him. He was watching film, going over things. I was like, this is Patrick freaking Ewing. And look at this dude. Like, all in on film, all in on the personnel. Let me just tell you, he's all in. I've been really impressed. And he's got those young guys playing hard and with a purpose. And I watched them go. I had the game at Marquette last year. Marquette at home, Fiserv Forum, final regular season game of the year. If Marquette wins, they clinch a share of the Big East crown, and Georgetown went toe-to-toe and beat them. I remember getting on the plane to go home and been like, man, look out. Their trio of young players are exciting. You know, Josh LeBlanc, James Akinjo, Mac McClung, all back as sophomores. Akinjo, just a tough, tough, good player. Freshman of the year in the Big East, led the league in assists. McClung is fearless and talented and athletic. He averaged 13 points per game. He needs to be more efficient. I think shot selection is huge for him, but you kind of, there's a balance here because you want to, what makes him great is that attack mindset, but you just want him to kind of have a little bit more intelligence with some of the stuff he does offensively. And then Josh LeBlanc, outstanding rebounder and a guy that you look at and he was just scratching the surface. So their young trio is great. And they added two impact transfers who are going to be really good. Omar Yurtseven, NC State transfer, a seven-footer. He averaged 13 points per game and six rebounds in NC State. He scored 20 points or more six different times in the ACC. Now, he's a really good player, really skilled, and with Patrick Ewing's guidance, he's going to be a big-time player in the Big East. And the other addition was a Central Florida transfer, Terrell Allen, 6'3 guard, started all 33 games for Central Florida last year, and he's been through the wars. Remember, in the NCAA tournament, who should have beaten Duke? Central Florida should have beaten Duke. And in that game, Terrell Allen had seven assists and four rebounds with Trey Jones and Zion and RJ Bender on the floor. Like, this dude's over. It's a real player. He'll help immediately. So I like their personnel. Their issue was sustaining focus on defense and sustaining kind of like execution on that end of the floor. And that's because they play a lot of young guys, but that has to improve. They rank dead last in the Big East in scoring defense. If that improves, look out, because I think they got the offensive weapons. Georgetown's a sleeper to make some noise. Next team, Providence. Speaking of sleepers, Ed Cooley's got a sneaky, tough team, man. Now, had a rough year last year, but that's because of injuries and youth. And this was the first year in a while that Providence didn't have a true elite point guard. Remember, they went from Bryce Cotton to Chris Dunn to Kyron Cartwright. And all those guys were great clutch players. And last year, they didn't have that. Well, they might have it this year with Luane Pipkins, a transfer from UMass. He averaged five assists per game last year. You know, he's had over 100 assists two straight years. Really good point guard. If he hits and is a baller, look out. Because that means guys like A.J. Reeves and David Duke can play off the ball and really focus on scoring. I think A.J. Reeves is a really good player. He was having a good year until he hurt his foot. And then you got the do-it-all Swiss Army knife, Alpha Diallo, 6'7", 18 points per, or 16 points per game, 8 rebounds, all Big East caliber player. They got size, they got toughness, and as long as Pipkins hits at that point guard spot, Providence has all the ingredients for an Ed Cooley team to really make some noise. So I think the world of Coach Cooley, he can coach. Look out for the Friars to be a lot better than maybe a lot of people think. Next team to talk about, St. John's. Mike Anderson era is underway. Chris Mullin stepped down, and I mean, no offense, but Chris Mullin never seemed invested. He just didn't. And I won't get into it much more than that, but it, you know, listen, man, in college basketball and in the Big East, your head coach better be all in every facet of being a head coach. Because in my opinion, that team woefully underachieved for two straight years. Raw talent, just roster talent, they were loaded. Loaded. So he's out. You bring in Mike Anderson. He comes from Arkansas. Experienced guy. I think his brand of basketball should mesh with the New York City area. Full court press, get after you type of identity. There should be players in that NYC area that can play that way. I do get nervous about, you know, can you really full court press good teams and expect to turn them over? Eh. I mean, Bob Huggins has done it at times, but it's just hard. You really going to go, you know, to Villanova and full court press them for 40 minutes? I don't know. Now, we'll see. We'll see. With this year, all I know is they got two really good players in LJ Figueroa and Mustafa Heron. Love those guys, especially LJ Figueroa. I thought he was the most underappreciated player in the conference last year. Efficient, long. And then Mustafa Heron's a beast for a guard. One of those guys that's way bigger in person than he is on film. But after that, not a lot there. Now, with those two guys, St. John's should be in a lot of games with Figueroa and Heron. But it takes more than just two in the Big East. Feels like a transition year for St. John's, but I think Mike Anderson could work there in NYC. Should be fun to watch them play as the season and years progress. I can't believe we took this long to talk about Villanova. Let's get into Villanova. Feels like a big changing of the guard at Nova in terms of personnel. Kind of the last of the title dudes departed, Phil Booth and Eric Paschal. But before we all discount Nova, keep this in mind. Villanova's won two national championships in the past 4 years. They've won five of the last six Big East titles, and they're 90-18 in conference play over the last 6 years. This is a blue blood elite program that has been arguably the best college basketball program in the last 5 years. So, listen, you ready to count Jay Wright and Nova out? I'm not. I mean, I will say this, doing what I do with Fox, of all the teams I've covered and talking to coach and shoot-arounds and practices, Villanova is always the most mature, grown-up, button-up team in their pregame shoot-arounds. It's a bunch of, like, adults. It's crazy. Nobody playing grab-ass and not listening and all that stuff. Like, they are serious, and it shows with how they play. With all that said, it does feel like an interesting year personnel-wise. Nobody, like you look at their roster, and there's nobody on paper that you automatically say, yep, all-conference guy, no doubt right there. Now, that's not to say they don't have some guys I like. Colin Gillespie, tough winner. I mean, think about it. Javon Quinerly, who was a five-star guy, came to Villanova and couldn't beat out Gillespie. Couldn't beat him out. So, you know, Quinerly left. I mean, Gillespie's a solid player. Jermaine Samuel, Sadiq Bey, Demir Cosby-Roundtree all feel like they're ready to take another step. And that's kind of been the MO for this program. Not only do they recruit well, but they develop guys because they stick around. And that core group is in their second and third years at Nova. And this is their model, right? They get guys to stay 3 or 4 years, and they win. So I think it'd be foolish to think those guys won't take a step. The guy that though is the most important to me is their stud freshman, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Versatile 6'6" guy who just knows how to score and play. And in Villanova's system, they keep it really simple. They rely on being able to guard you one-on-one and beat you one-on-one. And they do different things that just put you on an island, and you better be able to be up to the task. And I think Robinson Earl will fit that. So we'll see. Again, if there's a program that has earned a benefit of the doubt, it's Nova. But they aren't necessarily just out of this world good on paper. But, man, I'm not ready to pick against them. My guess is when March comes around, they're going to be right there in the conference title race. And the last team to discuss, as I take a drink here, I've been talking for a little bit. Okay. Let's talk about Xavier. I had a lot of Xavier games last year. and I've read a lot of Xavier games over the last handful of years. They were a team that when I'd go down their roster, I'd say like, okay, I like that player. He's a good player. I like him. He's a good player. He's a good player. And then for whatever reason, they couldn't quite put it all together. So they were kind of up and down. And when they were down, it was because of two things. Number one, the lack of depth, especially off the bench in their backcourt. And then number two, their inability to make three-pointers. They really struggled to shoot it from beyond the arc. Outside of Ryan Welich, their grad transfer who's now out or graduated. So, you know, a lot of teams would just plug up the lane, make life tough. And I also think it was an adjustment for the likes of Quentin Gooden, Paul Scruggs, and Najee Marshall to adjusting to life without Trayvon Blute and JP McCura. And I thought at times Gooden and Marshall in particular took bad shots. But with all that said, they navigated and hung in there and finished the year strong, winning 8 of their last 11 games. They went to the NIT, lost on the road in overtime at Texas, and they appeared to have hit their stride late. And you hope that kind of carries over into this year because that whole core is back. Gooden, Scruggs, Marshall, Tyreek Jones. And then they had a grad transfer who I think is a stud, Jason Carter from Ohio. I actually had Ohio played at Xavier last year, and I had that game on TV, and Jason Carter was awesome. Had 17 points against Xavier. Really, really big-bodied, 6'8", good player. He'll help. Najee Marshall is a dark horse Big East player of the year type of dude. He's got all the tools. I think Paul Scruggs is great. I actually think Paul Scruggs is their most consistent player. And when Gooden is on, he's awesome. He's just got to improve his consistency, though. All in all, if they shoot it better from three, this is a team that I think is going to have a big bounce back year. And, you know, listen, credit Travis Steele for navigating a tough waters last year. And, you know, he's got big shoes to fill with Chris Mack and the mark of excellence he left on that program. But I think Steele is up to the task. Look out for the X-Men. So there's kind of the teams, my thoughts on each team. And, you know, golly, predicting the league is, this is the hardest I think it's ever been to really kind of put a pen to paper and predict it. Because there's not a lot of separation between teams 1 and 2 and 6, 7, and 8 to me. There's no dominant team like Nova the last few years. So I think this is a league where, and this is how it sometimes is, one game could separate finishing 2nd or 3rd or finishing 7th and 8th. If I had to, I'd predict Seton Hall to win the league. I'd have Nova right behind them. Then I'd have Xavier at 3, Creighton 4, and then now you're just, I mean, it's kind of a coin flip. You know, Marquette at 5, Providence 6, Georgetown 7, Butler 8, DePaul 9, St. John's 10. But listen, man, who knows? I have a great feel for these teams, but separating them is the hardest year to handicap the league since its new formed inception, in my opinion. I think the Big East can get 6 teams in the NCAA tournament. I think the league is really tough this year. Again, they don't have a dominant team. They don't have a team that's going to be a 1 or a 2 seed, but it's really deep. I think that I will peg the player of the year, preseason player of the year, is Miles Powell, because I think Seton Hall is going to win more games than Marquette. So, you know, to the victor go the spoils. Freshman of the year, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Out of Villanova. Defensive player of the year, my boy Aaron Thompson out of Butler. I think he's a stud. Newcomer, Georgetown. Omer Yurtseven, going to be a really, really good player. When I my preseason all-conference, I'll kind of go the lame route. I'll go Powell, Marcus Howard, Najee Marshall, Tyshawn Alexander, and Alpha Diallo. Those will be the 5 for me. If I was giving out some biggie superlatives, the best scorer, Marcus Howard, Marquette, no doubt about it. Best defender, I told you, Aaron Thompson, unbelievable on the ball defender. Best passer, James Akinjo out of Georgetown. Best dunker, Mac McClung for Georgetown. I mean, YouTube that guy, my Lord. Most underrated, I'm going to go Marcus Zagorowski at Creighton. I think he's a lot better than people think. And then the toughest player, Quincy McKnight, Seton Hall. That guy is just, if I'm going into a dark alley, I want that guy with me. Things to keep an eye on. Went over a couple of them, though, but I'm going to give you 7 impact transfers to keep an eye on. Told you about Jason Carter from Ohio to Xavier, really good big-bodied scorer. Kobe McEwen, told you about him, Utah State to Marquette. Will really take pressure off of Marcus Howard, 15 points per game at Utah State, can score. Luane Pipkins, UMass to Providence, 5 assists a game last year, can run the PG. Omar, you're at 7, NC State to Georgetown, was 13 points a game at NC State. He'll be a big-time player for Patrick Ewing. Charlie Moore, Kansas to DePaul, really talented scorer, not a very big guy, but he can score. Denzel Mahoney, Southeast Missouri State to Creighton, 6'6", versatile, can play the four or on the wing, can be a really good player for the Jays when he gets eligible at semester. And then Bryce Inzi, Milwaukee to Butler. Kid's going to be a really, really good player for Laval Jordan. So there you go. 7 impact guys right there. So that'll do it. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Be a fun year in the Big East Conference. Again, I'm going to be calling games on Fox, be covering the conference all year on this podcast as well. So make sure you always are subscribing to the pod and keeping up to speed on everything. That'll do it. Should be a fun year in the Big East. Peace. A Parkville Media production.